19:13, it says, Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Old Testament, your eyes shall not pity him, but you shall put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. Amen. And notice verse 19 of chapter 19 too. Then shall you do as to him as he thought to have done to his brother, so that ye may put evil from among you. Amen. Over and over again, you will find that phrase. If you will look at 21:21, Deuteronomy 2:1-2:1, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Why? So that ye may put away evil from among you. Amen. 22:21. We see that it says, verse 22, if a man be found lying with a woman married to her to a husband, then both of them shall die, the man that lay with the woman and the woman. Why? So that you shall put away evil from among Israel. And look at verse 24. It says, then you shall bring them both out of the gate of the city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, and the young because she did not cry out of the city, and the man because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so that, why? You may. Amen. And look at chapter 24, verse 7. It says that if a man be found kidnapping or stealing any of his brethren of his children of Israel, and mistreats him and sells him, then shall the kidnapper die and the rest? Amen. Over and over again, thou shalt put away evil from among you. Thou shalt put away evil from among you. Amen. And I think I used another scripture this morning. 17:7. All right. Thank you, Kelton. 17:7. Amen. Praise the Lord. 17:7. The hand of the witness shall be the first against him to put him to death. And afterwards, the hands of all the people. And what's the rest? Amen. So to put away evil from among you, or to purge evil from your midst. Amen. And so this morning, we are talking about the good life. Amen. The good life. I believe that's what, amen. That is the life that we want to focus on. Amen. It is called the good life. Amen. I can't get this right, so I'll just let the team members handle it. Can everybody say the good life? One more time. Amen. Amen. The good life. The good life. Amen. You may be seated as we consider now the good life. The good life. Well, I could use for another subject, too holy to be unhappy. Amen. Too holy to be unhappy. And I could talk about too unhappy to be holy. Amen. Amen. But we want to deal with this because this is critical. This is important. God wants us to have a great life. God wants us to have a glorious life. God wants us to have and experience the good life. Amen. That's what he wants us to do, to experience the good life. And the aim of our sermon is just that, for us to experience the good life. And when we talk about that which is good, it is good is that which is to be desired. It is that which is to be desired or approved of. Amen. It is a good quality of life. Amen. A good quality of life. Amen. Do you want to have a good quality of life? When you talk about life, we can all live, but what is the quality of our living? Do you want a life or do you want a good life? Do you want a society or do you want a good society? Do you want a marriage or do you want a good marriage? As you see, it's the quality that makes the difference. The quality. And that's what God was concerned about. God was concerned about quality. Amen. Amen. That makes all the difference in the world. You can have something, but if you don't have quality, then you are not going to be a happy camper. God wants you and I to have and to live the good life. The good life. And so what he talks about here is he had established these cities of refuge in the promised land where, if you notice chapter 19, verse 4, if someone were to kill someone by accident, they could flee to that city and they could be rescued. Amen. They accidentally killed somebody. It was not intentional. It was unintentional. God had it built in so that you, in the Holy Land, in the Promised Land, there were three cities. You could go to one of those cities on the west side. If you lived on the east side of it, you could go to one of the three cities on the east side. But in the Promised Land itself, you could go and you could flee to one of those cities if you killed somebody by accident. And they would determine that by it not being premeditated. There is no previous hostility. Then it was not intentional. If there was no record that you disliked the person or hated the person, then they would consider that unintentional. When you killed them. However, God also knew that there were those who were responsible for taking care of their family members and that they would, if they had to take or get revenge, that God fixed it so that family members would avenge each other. They would defend each other. Amen. Your Bible may use a different word. I'm reading from the New King James. But it talks about in verse 6, an avenger of blood, someone who is legitimately looking to take someone or to get revenge on someone because they did something to a family member. They were expected to have each other's back. And if you did intentionally do something to someone, then, and you had fled to that city, then they were told to protect you. You only protected those who accidentally killed someone. Because verse number 11 says in chapter 19, if anyone hates his neighbor, lies in wait for him and rises against him and strikes him that he dies, and he go to one of these cities. And verse 12 says, then if the elders of the city sends and bring him from there, and they deliver him they are to deliver him to the avenger of blood. Amen. If he had really been guilty of doing something wrong, and it was correct, then he needed to be turned over. So what it says is, the elders of the city, who sat in the gate of the city, would not protect you. You will not get protection. Because God does not protect you if you're wrong. And the elders of the city will turn you over to that family member and allow them to get revenge on you. You can't run to the elders and hide. They would turn you over to the one, to the family member of the one who you had hurt. And it says he may die. Amen. He would lose his life if he took another man's life. Amen. Because God wants you to experience the good life. In order to do that, you have to put away evil from among you. And it says, it may be hard. It says in verse 13, don't pity him. Don't feel sorry for him if he, amen. Did that seem a little too rough on you? Amen. Amen. Don't feel sorry for him, because after all, he did kill somebody else. And if he killed somebody else, he himself deserves to die. And God said, don't pity him. Don't feel sorry for him. Because I don't want someone who has that mentality to live. They need to be put to death. Why? So you can put away evil. Put away evil, put away guilt, and that guilt won't be upon the land, and that it may go well with you. God wants us to understand that you can have and experience the good life. In the promised land, they had experienced the good life. The good life is where the priests were taken care of. The good life. It's a place where the people did not suffer from sicknesses. The people had laws that God wanted them to go by. They had all kind of laws. They had social laws. They had religious laws. They had dietary laws. You couldn't eat what you wanted to eat, because God made the food and he knew what was in it and he knew what was best for your body. Hey, man, I know people don't like for you to tell them what to eat. I'm not trying to tell you what to eat. I'm just telling you what God said. God... It was not about obeying the law. Had nothing to do with salvation. But it had everything to do with sickness. If you didn't want to get sick, you could eat the way God told you to, prescribe you to eat, because he made the food. And it's not about salvation. It's about sickness. Amen. You can eat pork and go to heaven. You can eat crawfish. Amen. Pig. You can eat, amen. You can eat shrimp and go to heaven. Amen. But God had dietary laws that told him not to eat it. You can eat catfish. But it ain't going to keep you from going to heaven. It just may get you to heaven earlier. But it's not a salvation issue. God knew that in the promised land, I want you to experience the good life. The good life. is a life where you'll put evil at a distance and it won't come in. They had relationship laws. You couldn't hurt nobody. You couldn't cheat on one another. Wife was cheating, husband was cheating, they died. Children didn't obey the parents, they would die. They didn't go for that. The good life. The life that, amen, let me settle down a little bit, amen. This life is a life where evil was not allowed in. Evil. Wouldn't it be nice? Amen. They took care of their people. Their wealth, their health was taken care of, and the priests were not allowed to own property. That's the only reason why he was taken care of. But then there was the temple was treasured. Why would you treasure the temple? The temple was treasured because the temple is where the laws came from. The temple taught the laws. The tent. Amen. Moses, the Levites, the priests were all there to let people know, if you really want to experience a good life, you have to go to church on Sunday. And you have to listen what comes from the word. If you want to live, I mean, you may not want to, I'm just saying. You may want the catfish. That's up to you. But if you want to, if you want the good life, can everybody shout good life? I don't think nobody like this life. Amen. Sister Ash, the good life, the good life. Amen. Well, husbands didn't hurt wives and children didn't end up in jail. The good life. Amen. You couldn't steal nobody's stuff. Amen. You caught stealing. Amen. Amen. There could be a death sentence. The good life. Amen. You couldn't lie. Amen. You ever, anybody ever lied to you? Amen. You couldn't lie. If you were caught in a lie, that meant death. You couldn't be lying on nobody. You couldn't do that because you can get somebody in trouble. Amen. God says, in my promised land, I want you to experience the good life, and lies have to be kept at a distance. I'm not going to hold you. The lies, can't nobody lie. If they find out about it, you end up stoned. Amen. 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 You couldn't have intercourse with animals. You couldn't have intercourse with the same sex. You couldn't have intercourse with anyone but your spouse. You couldn't have intercourse, period, until you got married. I'm talking about just a good life. Now, you may not want it, but I'm just trying to let you know what it is. I'm trying to identify the good life. The good life is a life that's got good results. Don't you want good results? The good life. Amen, amen. The good life is where everything went like it was supposed to go. The good life. Amen. The good life was a life where you basically were too holy to be unhappy. You see, it is holiness that will make you happy. You got to believe that. Holiness will make you happy. You see, it's only when you are living holy that you are happy. You say, well, I can be happy without being holy. I'm glad you brought that up, because the Bible talks about there is a short period of time when you can be unholy and be happy. Hebrews 11:25 talks about Moses chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25. Moses chose to suffer at church He chose to suffer with the 2.5 million people in the desert. He chose to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses knew that sin is seasonal. Sin is temporary. It does not last. Sin has short-term pleasure. Sin brings immediate gratification. How many times have you experienced a sin and then the moment you started, it's good. When you're doing wrong, it's good. At the beginning, it's good. Oh, but it's when you wake up the next morning. Amen. Amen. It's the long-term results. Amen. Sin has immediately make you feel good and make you feel glad about it. But in the end, sin will break your heart. Sin will start you out on a journey and it won't carry its weight. Sin will get you started, but it won't finish like it started. Sin will make you end up in a ditch. Sin will make you end up in a, I wish I had a witness, end up in jail. Amen. But it started out with a party. It started out getting high. It started out dancing. It started out with a lot of music. Yeah. Amen. But stick around a while. You see, sin is something that God says, I want you to keep evil way away from you. Amen. Don't let it get up on you. Don't let it get close to you. Because you may be happy sinning now, but you need to follow these folk around a while. Give them a while. You'll find out who was really, whether sin was really good when they allowed it into their lives. Sinful decisions. I don't want to listen to God's way of making decisions. I want to do it the way I want to do it. Amen. I want to decide who I want to do this with. I want to decide this. I want to decide. I want to make my own decisions. I don't want to do it the way God said do it. I want to do it my own way. Have we got a witness? I don't want no Bible. Close the Bible up. It's in the way. I want to do it. What are y'all, all this religious stuff, all this talk about God. Get rid of that Bible. Hide it. Amen. Quit selling it. Don't bring up God's name. I think God done got blackballed in America. They don't want to call his name. You find out those senators who were, I don't want to drift here, but they scared to call the name God. He done made the world and he done got blackballed in his own world. Don't talk about God. Oh, let me get back to my scripture here. The fact of the matter is sin will make you sad. Sin will disappoint you. And right now, the happiest people in the world are those who don't play with sin. You can't play with poison. You can't play with it. You can't fool with it. It'll bite you. It'll come back to haunt you. You can be, but for those who are too holy to be unhappy, that means that you are just obeying everything that God wants you to do. You're walking the straight and narrow. You're doing it the way God wants you to do it. You're making decisions the way God told you to make them. I guess I could say you're even eating like God told you to eat. Amen. And because of you doing that, then the end result is you today are happy. Amen. You're happy. Amen. Don't let the devil fool you. Amen. You're too holy. When you're too holy, it doesn't mean that you got your nose in there. It means that you follow the word of God to the best of your ability. You do everything he tells you to do. You are just too holy to be unhappy. Ain't no way you can be unhappy. Amen. You ain't no way you can be unhappy. Amen. God's road leads to eternal happiness. Amen. There's no way, because you're following all of the word of God. Amen. But then, you know, secondly, what you can do, you can be, amen. There's one case of being too holy to be unhappy. Amen. But you can be too unholy to be happy. It reverses. When you're too unholy to be happy, that means that you are, I'm just giving it to you the way he gave it to me. I didn't get a chance to finish it, but That means you too unholy. You're not going to let anything in. Amen. You're not going to embrace all of the word of God and be as happy as you possibly can. You're not going to let anything in. You too, amen, unholy to be happy. Amen, amen. You won't let nothing that God says come into your life. Amen, amen. You won't even get a little bit of happiness. Amen. You just don't want to have nothing to do with. You're not going to let no happiness come in. Amen. You don't want to have nothing to do with what the Lord said. You don't want to listen to none of his laws. You have pushed God away. You don't want God. Ever got a witness? Amen. And amen. And matter of fact, anything that you know about God, you try to change it. Even the laws you do know about God, you are changing those laws. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the truth of the matter is that you don't ever want to change any of God's laws. Because God and only God knows what's best for us. Have we got a witness? God is the only one that can give you a life full of real, real happiness. And when God gives us that life of real happiness, in order to do that, he's got to keep sin away from you. He has to keep sin away from you. You say, well, we're not under the law, but we can learn from the principles of the law. We can learn from the law, and we know that sin is damaging, sin is dangerous, sin is even deadly. And so God says, keep that away from you. He says, you see, there's a reason why my land is holy. My land is holy because there's holy living, and there's holy living because there are holy laws. You see, God won't let nothing in. Anything that is not for your good, anything that doesn't have your good, that's not in for your best, God will not allow it into your life. Why? Because you are concerned. He wants you to experience a good quality life. He don't want you to just live through life. He wants you to have your best life. And the people who are happy here this morning are the people who've been walking with God. Amen. Amen. If you've been walking with God, then you have allowed God to rule. Amen. It's what made the Holy Land holy? It's called the Holy Land. What made it holy? Think about that. It was not just the presence of God, although the presence of God makes something holy, but it was the presence of his laws. The people became holy when they obeyed the laws. And it made it out of a holy land. And when you were in the Holy Land, obeying the holy laws, you had a holy life. And a holy life leads you to a good life.